Well, I was just going on this morning. I was curious. I went onto the Tobin's website and I was looking for tickets for the Thursday night performance of Butterfly. And it looked like a significant number of them have already sold, or they say unavailable at least up there. Are things going well as far as the ticket sales?
Ticket sales are going very well. The three lower priced categories of tickets have all been sold out for both performances. There are some tickets available in the higher priced categories. There's been a tremendous interest in doing traditional Puccini opera, far different than there was last year. Even though it was our inaugural season in doing, and it was the first time anybody had been in the Tobin in doing Zalame, and then of course the two smaller productions were done in the Alvarez Theater, which is quite small, 230 seats. Mm-hmm. People, I think, in the greater San Antonio area have a real hunger for what we might consider traditional opera that they really, at a certain level, that they have not really had the opportunity to see here for a long time. So as time goes on, we will see exactly what that plan is in terms of what the makeup of each season's repertoire is going to be.
Was that
always was really the plan anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just so happens that the inaugural season did not include any Verdi, Puccini, or Mozart, or Donizetti, or any, you know, what normally one would consider as a traditional Italian opera.
Yeah, in my talk with Tobias last fall, he mentioned wanting to do a Puccini this season, in fact. But I'm curious also if, as you kind of maybe alluded to just now, that the move towards doing specifically Madame Butterfly of Puccini and the Verdi Il Trovatore in the spring, if moving to Puccini and Verdi was a deliberate choice to say, you know, we're not going to do the Zalame or the, you know, the smaller, maybe lesser known opera. We really need to give somebody something they can sink their teeth into.
Well, there were a number of reasons for that. The inaugural season last year, and if you analyze all the productions during that season, each one was done for a specific reason. Fantastic Mr. Fox, and all of them were brand new productions. We own them, we designed them, we built them. That translates to lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very expensive. In the case of the two productions that were held in the Alvarez Studio Theater, the theater holds 230 people. From a financial standpoint, the earned revenue in those, in doing productions of that type that are brand new, is just totally unrealistic. I mean, way, way too low. And that's just not something we can continue doing. So the opening production was Fantastic Mr. Fox. Of course, it was one of Tobias's operas. And the reason for doing that opera really was to send a message to the greater San Antonio community that this opera company is a company that wants to do productions for families, for children, etc. So it's not a blood and guts opera. It is not a Zalame.
Yeah, that came later in December.
Well, and there was a reason for that. So let's skip that a second and then go to Il Segreto di Susanna and Bohemian. Segreto di Susanna and Bohemian really occurred because Anna Caterina Antonacci was going to be in New York essentially doing concert versions of the same thing. And the fact that she is such an unusual artist and had not really been in the States very often, and we had an opportunity to do that with her, kind of helped us decide to do that. In the case of Zalame, the opera company, the fact that the Tobin opened last year, and prior to that opening, the opera company really had not done any production of any kind in the HEB Performance Hall. So it was an unknown quantity to us. Didn't really know how act operas or scene operas would work in terms of changing scenery, changing sets, where you're going to store them, all of that kind of stuff. So we were looking for a way to kind of get our feet wet. Zalame, as you know, is a one-act opera with no chorus, and the San Antonio Symphony and Sebastian were doing a Strauss Festival. So that seemed as though, and over the past couple of years, Zalame has had this resurgence. So, you know, Dallas did it, Santa Fe did it this summer. We had a chance to do it with Patricia Rossette, who just 3 or 4 months prior to that had sung her first Zalame in a concert version at Ravinia, and really wanted to do a fully staged production. So we did this new production. Entire opera took 1.5 hours, no chorus, no change of scenery per se, and it gave us a chance to see in the future what we can do in the HEB and do well. And so that first season was a tremendous learning experience in all kinds of ways, not only from a financial standpoint, but from an artistic standpoint, from the standpoint of possibly selecting repertoire in the future. And in regard to that, the thought right after the double bill of Il Segreto di Susanna and La Voix Humaine, we had a major decision to make in terms of what we want to do going forward. When I first founded this company, which was actually in 2009, there were a lot of goals of the company, some of them artistic, some of them financial, some of them just structural. But I had gone on the record of saying that this opera company has to be run in a financially responsible way. And I had a model. And everyone, including Mark Skorka, who's the president and CEO of Opera America, told me I will never accomplish my model. And the model was that I wanted 100% of every production to be fully funded, excluding ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I failed the first year. Why we failed is not really important, but we failed, and I was not going to fail the second year. So at the end of that first season, we had a significant deficit. Our fiscal year ended June the 30th, just several months ago. By the end of our fiscal year, we had totally paid off that deficit. So the company is in very good shape financially. We have fully funded the production of Madame Butterfly, excluding ticket sales. The goal was for the ticket sale revenue to be able to be put in a reserve account to commit to future productions. That's what we're going to be doing. Now, that having been said, when you ask me about what my role was, there is no question that the company structurally needs to hire a general director, artistic director person, and a staff. And that is among our goals after Butterfly, so after Trovatore.
I was going to say, how long do you think you'll be? You can hang on in that role.
Let me tell you, Nathan, it is shocking the number of people who have submitted resumes and who want to come here to do this. Incredible. That just word of mouth, just interested in what's going on in San Antonio, interested in the new Performing Arts Center, interested in a new high-level company that's going to be the resident a resident company in that facility. So there's no shortage of people. However, one of the ways to deal with what occurred over the first year was that we are operating in a very lean and mean manner, and that's been extremely helpful to the company financially, and it's certainly been a major part of what has enabled us to be able to move forward. It's imperative. So that's where we are. And it's also the reason why this second season we're doing one fully staged production and one concert version of Trovatore. The concert version of Trovatore, as you know, is on March 31st and April the 2nd, which is a slight modification from what the symphony normally does. Normally, the symphony's concerts are on Friday and Saturday nights. Trovatore is going to be a Thursday and a Saturday night because I'm extremely sensitive of singers and what they do, particularly singers who would sing in Trovatore. And there's no way that I would ask any singer to sing any of those roles two nights in a row. So the symphony has changed their Friday night concert to Thursday night. So we will do a Thursday night and a Saturday night concert version, part of the symphony's subscription series. Excellent artists. Sebastian Maestro and Langlessing will conduct. Symphony's going to play. And one of the reasons for this particular second season being what it is to help the company financially reestablish itself. That is not what the greater San Antonio community ought to expect on a going forward basis.
Sure. So what is the most important we've talked about how opera is really the most expensive art form to produce. What kind of support do you need most now? Is it corporate? Is it major gifts? Is it, you've got great ticket sales, obviously, for Butterfly now.
You've got great ticket sales, and the production is being underwritten by a combination of foundations, businesses, city, county, et cetera, individuals, and on an ongoing basis, you know what the opera world is like. That's going to be an issue that we will have to deal with. Obviously, the more productions that we do in any given season, the greater our budget is going to be. And this is a project that will grow as time goes on. It's kind of a, in a sense, it's kind of a difficult model, because as difficult as it is to raise money, the more successful you are, the more productions you do, the more money you need to raise. So it's this catch-22 thing, you know. You don't need to raise any money if you don't do any productions. If you do three productions and three performances of each production and the type of productions that we're doing, we're talking about significant dollars. Now, one of the things that I think it's important to know is after that inaugural season ended and we learned what we learned, the thought occurred to me that what would be most helpful, at least over the next several years, is to find the right opera company headed by the right individual who has a stellar reputation for doing great productions, and where all of the productions that are done by that company, if we were to rent those productions would be guaranteed to fit on the Tobin stage. So if you were to come to me and say, God, I saw this fantastic production of La Boheme in San Francisco, God, you ought to do it. Well, sounds wonderful, but there's a lot to consider before you ever make that decision. And one of the chief considerations is to be sure that that production is going to fit on that Tobin stage without retrofitting it, without investing a huge amount of money. So in my other world with the Tobin Theater Arts Fund, I'm involved with a lot of various opera companies and people, et cetera. And the company that I focused on immediately was Francesco Zambello and Glimmerglass. I had been to Glimmerglass Summer Festival, a fairly small house. Francesca being general director of Glimmerglass and also artistic director of Washington National Opera, is in somewhat of a unique situation because she's got this inventory of production and tech people that kind of
come together.
So when I met with Francesca, the discussion was, you know, this is a small community. I mean, not San Antonio, the opera community. Everybody knows what's going on all over. So I met with Francesca and told her what my thoughts were. And I said, you know, over the next couple of seasons, I would like to form some kind of a relationship with you where we could rent productions that originated in Glimmerglass. And in renting those productions, I want to have the production and tech staff come with the production so that they all know one another. They have worked together as a unit, and I don't have to deal with having Joe meet Tom.
Yeah.
They know each other, and they've worked on the production. And so that's what Butterfly is. Now, in the case of Butterfly, also, we were able to do a production, as an example, that can be shipped here in one trailer, as opposed to two trailers or three trailers. So, you know, in coming up with the right repertoire and the right production, there's a lot to think about, some of which is artistic, some of which is financial and feasible.
Does that also fall in line with what you're looking for in terms of a new artistic director when that person comes on board? Somebody that has an artistic vision for the organization, but yet also really remains practical in that regard?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and if you look at many opera companies in today's world, they're structured quite differently than they may have been 25 years ago. And what has happened now is in many instances, two roles have been combined, the general manager or general director's role and the artistic director's role are kind of one and the same. Now, there may be an artistic administrator, which in a sense we have. You know, we've got, right now, we have a person who is able to coordinate all of the production and artistic details. And lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, involves airplane fare and hotels and, you know, who is doing what and just lots of stuff. So that's a major consideration for us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a financial consideration. It's a huge financial consideration because, you know, years ago, you know, an opera company, a reasonably good-sized opera company, had a general manager and then an artistic director head. And it's not quite like that now. Everybody's trying to the cost of production is so high, everybody's trying to conserve in any way they can. And many of the companies that have artistic directors are people who have that dual ability. It's not as though they have just fallen into it. I mean, they have been educated, they've got a financial background, but they're also very, very artistic. So that's a major importance to us.
Yeah. Looking ahead then, I mean, 5 years from now, where do you hope Opera San Antonio is in terms of the productions it's doing, the people it's reaching in the community? What's your dream for the organization?
Well, the goal in terms of the audience is without question. While we're interested in providing regular opera goers with productions that they have a real desire to see, what is probably more important is to generate a new audience, to grow a new audience. Younger people, people who still think opera is Helen Traubel singing Die Valkyrie with horns on her head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, as you know, that's not what opera is these days. It's been kind of an interesting transition. Every single component of the production can be changed, really, except the music. The music is the one constant. So you see all these productions that are modernized, in a sense, and maybe done in a more contemporary setting, whatever, depending upon who the director might be and who the singers might be. It is imperative that we grow the local audience. There's no question. We are not doing this only for, as I said, people who regularly go to Santa Fe and Dallas and Houston. Whatever.
Yeah, because let's face it, they got the funds. They could easily just go to these other locations.
We want them to do that. We want them to do that, but we want them to support what we're doing. But we're trying to grow a new, younger audience that we can do productions that will be compelling, that will be relevant to today, that in sitting and seeing and hearing spectacular music and seeing a great production, it's going to kind of light a fire, cause a spark, and it doesn't take long to do that. Now, everybody likes a different flavor of ice cream. So over a period of time, the fact that we did no traditional Italian work, in a sense, that first season, we did a major market survey, very, very positive, extremely the people who participated were incredibly complimentary. However, there's a huge portion of our community that wants to see traditional opera, wants to hear Carmen and Tosca and La Boheme and mm-hmm. Traviata and all that. And so we're doing Butterfly. We're doing Trovatore because it lends itself to be doing a concert version very easily. The answer to your question about where do I see the company being in 5 years, as far as productions are concerned, I see the company doing 3 productions and 3 performances of each production. The makeup of that season will be determined as time goes on, and it'll be certainly a combination of traditional works as well as more contemporary works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is, as time goes on, there are more and more people who are kind of gravitating towards really interesting contemporary work. So if you would ask me at the moment what those might be, I would tell you I don't know, because I really haven't given it much thought.
What most excites you?
Personally?
Yeah.
If you were to say what are does that mean what are my favorite operas?
When you look and you see what other companies are doing, when you see what the world of opera is doing right now, what excites you?
I went this summer. I was in Glimmerglass, and they did a new production of Macbeth with Eric Owens, Melody Moore, and a young bass baritone by the name of Solomon Howard. I thought vocally it was spectacular. I am personally, what excites me most personally is great music and great singing. That's what excites me most personally. I'm a person who is most interested in beautiful singing. So if I listen to Jussi Björling, that excites me.
Excellent.
If I see what is considered a great production of sorts and has mediocre singing, it means absolutely nothing to me. Because what has happened, and I've seen lots of them, what has happened, I think, over a fairly short period of time, a lot of productions that are being produced by various opera companies that are unique, different, special, have shock value, in my opinion, are doing that because the people seeing them really are not doing justice to the music. So they're trying, they're a lot of singers are being cast to do roles that they may not do so well, but they're in productions that are shocking or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't relate. Personally, I don't relate to it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do both. You know, that doesn't mean... Oh, yeah, it doesn't mean you can't see an interesting production of a traditional work with fabulous singers. I mean, I've seen a lot of them as well.
Yeah.
So, but my personal interest is in the vocal part of it. That's really what I like.
Finally, what specifically to Butterfly coming up here, you know, for the people who are still on the fence about, you know, like, oh, should I come right now? I mean, like, what's your one line pitch for coming to hear and see Butterfly?
I think it's, you know, the music is incredibly spectacular. So Maestro Lang Lessing is conducting. We're using the entire 72-piece Santonio Symphony. The production is very interesting. The cast is excellent. It's a very emotional work, and I cannot believe that anybody who is there will not leave the theater delighted that they had been there.
Excellent. Mel Weingart, thank you so much.
Thank you.